everyone. I am
the man who can't forget.
And these are my wolf brothers.
Be your fat little man angrio.
And I am your Tom's little toy guitar. Like, can you see the string on it? It's literally like string.
It's a bard's sitar.
It is not a sitar. That is a guitar.
But is that because they don't have nylon strings in whatever fucking universe this is?
Should have a harp.
It's true. He should have a harp, but a flute.
Oh.
So it's already terrible. Thank the light, guys. We're out.
Thank the light. Jeremy hates it.
Hashtag the book was better.
You don't even have to hashtag it. It's just like it's implied now. Come on, guys.
Thank the light, a Wheel of Time podcast, : the book was better. So today, folks, let's see if I can get through our intro before we hit the 20-minute mark. We are in the middle of our fantastic rewatch. Today, we are going to be talking about episode 3. Wait for it.
A Place of Safety.
Thank you. A Place of Safety.
Not from Jeremy's hate.
Justin had that one chambered all day long.
I didn't, actually. I really didn't. I didn't.
That was off the cuff? It's even more impressive then.
I was off the cuff. Just making people laugh with sadness.
Let's start with the easiest question. How many notes did you take on this one? Lots, few, little?
Same as last time. Same as last time.
Yeah, I had quite a few. You
guys are insane. This one, I enjoyed this watch, and I had my notebook out, and I started to write a bunch. I don't know. I feel like I saw this episode. Like, this episode was like, oh, I remember all of this. Like, even episodes 1 and 2, I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And this one was like, yeah, I remember all that. That's cool. I don't know why. I don't know if it was, maybe it's just the simple fact that like Justin and I were like, no, because we would have crammed this in our first recording too.
Can I give you my theory?
Yes.
My theory is the editor, when we rewatched that one, he left a lot of this episode in.
Okay.
If you go back and watch, because you have to leave in the part when Nynaeve shows up, you have to leave in the part where they run into the Tinkers, you have to leave in the part where Tom comes in. I mean, it's
all there on the page. That makes sense.
Yeah. So we've rewatched it like 4 times now because of that. And this episode had a lot of stuff in it that you just can't gloss over. You know, there's things that he had to leave in as far as story.
Yeah, which is weird because it's one of the slower, so far it's one of the slower episodes, but so many people are being introduced and meeting up with new people and all that stuff and the fucking, the dream, I forgot that Perrin, his weird little dream, which Layla fucking...
She's going to be a giant red herring.
Is she? That's what I was kind of getting to that. Is she just a big prop for Perrin's sad face? Or
maybe. I don't know. I feel like I don't care anymore unless it's really good. So I'm just like, whatever.
Oh, you'll fucking care.
I feel like they're never going to address her in the hammer. It's just going to be like, man, she's gone now because he killed her.
Is she the baby?
She might be the baby. I was going to say, that's the difference between Jeremy's notes. Jeremy has like good, like, notes breaking down plot points and actual production. I just look for setup for dick and fart jokes.
Nice. That's good. That's a skill.
It's about all I bring to it. That's it.
You should have seen my first one. It all started with stupid. I hate. This is terrible. For the first episode, I've calmed down a little bit.
Half of my notes, Justin, are trying to come up with my outro, so I'm no better.
That is the one thing I think about like all day. I'm like, what am I going to say?
what's it going to be? My first note is the trials of Nynaeve. That's what I named this. Was there any of this cold open in the edit?
No.
No, no.
Because I know there didn't need to be, but it was so great.
Yeah, it was really good. Her face, she's just like, when she's waking up, you're just like, oh.
Oh. And I totally, because it wasn't in the edit either, so I haven't seen it in a while, I totally forget that she kills a Trolloc. Like, I always just think she gets up and runs and just never stops running. But when she goes, which, those, like, springs, because that pool that she hides in when she kills the Trolloc, that looks very much like the special pool in the Two Rivers.
It is.
That's what it was.
It is a special tool.
Oh, is she still that close? Oh. Okay. Okay. That's right, because I forget they would have just drug her away a little ways and then got distracted.
Yeah, she goes there because she knows where it is, and she's like, oh, I can hide there. And it's you know, it's good for the, you know, continuity for the people who are watching it. Like, oh, I know where that is.
And then that makes sense that then she was able to pick up Lan's scent.
That I still don't understand.
Oh, God damn it. Well, I was counting on you guys. That's one of my first questions.
I don't understand. He said, I guess later on in the episodes, like when she says she basically tracks Moraine, not him, and that she has a tell, like it's poker.
Oh, she tracks Moraine?
Yeah, like you did. Oh, you guys, she has a tell. She has a club foot. We did talk about this because we were like, oh yeah, somebody drags their foot or something like that. We talked about it. Like, she has a tell? It doesn't make any sense, but okay.
Well, is it just because Aes Sedai can track each other and Nynaeve doesn't realize she's Aes Sedai yet, but she's picking up on that scent?
So in the books, they can feel each other. And there's also certain things like Moraine tells Nynaeve that if you've healed someone, then sometimes you can sense their presence. But that doesn't happen. And so, I mean, they can do anything they want in the TV show, right? So they can be like, you know, yes, they can feel each other over longer distances or whatever. But I don't think that's what it is. I think that it is actually that she's tracking them.
Yeah, I thought maybe it was like a residual, you know, thing of the power. But I doubt that Nynaeve could do anything like that.
In the last episode, she says, you know, Moraine has a tell. So that's how she tracked them. It is pretty awesome, though, how when the Trolloc's in the water, and then Nynaeve comes up out of the water, like behind him, like,
oh, fucking predator.
Yeah, she looks like the predator.
Yes. Before we get too far away from it, Trollocs are gross.
And they're bad friends.
Yes.
They're terrible friends.
One guy's like, oh, dude, are you hurt? Meh, I'm going to eat your guts.
You know what's hilarious, though? Have you ever seen like animals in the wild, like say like boars, wild boars? If one of them gets like hurt, they'll attack it.
Really?
There's this video where there's like a bunch of animals and they're all standing around, different animals. And this, I want to say it's like a zebra or something kicks a wild boar and like knocks it down. And the other wild boar jumps on top of it and is like, starts attacking it.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like it senses weakness.
Which is cool that they're boars because like, yeah, and almost all Trollocs with all whatever animal they are, they all seem to be a little boarish.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. They all have tusks. They all have like, yeah.
Snouts.
Except for the ones that have bunny ears.
they need more with bunny ears and fluffy tails.
We need some more cute ones.
There are some ones with bunny ears though.
Didn't what? No, I did not
the
see
one
that.
The one that is on all fours when Matt comes eye to eye with has like fucking rabbit.
He's got bunny ears?
He's got like fucking big rabbit ears.
I must have thought that was horns.
Maybe they're like really large like horse ears or something. I don't know, but they look like rabbit ears to me, man.
They're mule ears.
All I can picture is Donnie Darko.
Oh my gosh.
Fucking
that weird rabbit.
Stupid rabbit costume.
Fuck that rabbit.
So our heroes are all split up. Lan, Moraine, and Nynaeve are now grouped up. Rand and Matt are on the mountains, and Egwene and Perrin are being chased. Well, not really chased by wolves. They're being
herded by wolves.
They're not wolves. They're like border collies. They're like just
exactly.
They just nip at their heels and they stop and then they run along their heads.
Nope. Left.
And they lick your wounds and turn you into wolf brothers.
Did you guys? Yeah. If that's the way that is, I'm going to be upset. Did you guys see the symbol in the pool after she killed the Trolloc?
Yeah, I did. I noticed that too. Yeah.
No.
What?
It turns into the Aes Sedai symbol.
Does it? Oh, that's two they did in this episode then.
Yeah.
Because it's got
the one where the chick bleeds and then it goes into the trees.
Yeah.
It doesn't turn into a symbol, does it? The Aes Sedai symbol?
It has like a dragon fang at first, kind of.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it gets a little dragony.
I'm a little worried about Nynaeve and Lan's romance. It's starting from a place of violence. He's like, oh, you actually tried to kill me. And then he's like, this chick's kind of hot. And then she gets whapped on the head and she's like, I kind of like this dude.
She knocks her the fuck out. Well, they both need someone that can take the other one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know shit.
Absolutely.
Because, God, Nynaeve is... I don't like Nynaeve.
Like, really?
She's a great character and she's a badass, but she is the last person of this crew that I want to spend any time with. Like, I want her on my team, but...
Just on the other side of the... Other side of the battlefield.
You want her as your lawyer. You want her as your lawyer.
Yeah, totally. Do I have to show up? No. Okay.
How much money do I have to give you to not have to go back to Montana? Just take it.
Just give me a number.
Do you not like her as the book or as the on the TV show or both?
Either. I don't want to hang out with either one, but because I have to like watch Nynaeve coexist with other humans, I dislike the TV version more.
Really? Really? Wow, okay.
That's funny. Just give him a while, Jeremy. He hasn't had 9 books of her yet.
That's true.
He'll like the TV version much better after a couple more books.
Oh, yes. No, she gets worse. Yeah.
Okay. So they're just starting off on the TV show. They're just getting there faster than the slow drip of the books.
She's actually kind of badass in the TV show, I thought.
That's the thing is, after the books, she's like insufferable sometimes. And you're just like,
it's bad.
Yeah. And you're like, there's no reason for you to keep acting like this.
I mean, but she's duality. She's such an awesome character, but then she just acts like your stuck up older sister sometimes or something. I don't know.
She finally does start to, she learns humility, honestly, because she's kind of been like, well, I'm just, you know, I was in charge at a young age. Now I'm like the strongest channeler now.
I don't have to listen to nobody.
Yeah, I got pushed to the top. I never even had to be a novice. I went to straight from to accepted. So she just kind of like, you know, gets pushed up. I mean, she earns everything that she gets, but she also has this like insufferable attitude. She's like a really good athlete that was like always born a great athlete and gets pushed to the top.
Totally.
And so she just has this, you know, this arrogance about her. And then she finally gets humbled. And then she becomes a great character again.
In her first year in college, she gets a DUI. They sweep it under the rug. She gets humbled. And it's, you know, she goes on and has a great career, Hall of Fame. Is that not what we're talking about?
She falls into steroids for a little bit. It's basically The Program. If you ever watch the movie The Program, that's her life.
Not quite as dark as the Aaron Hernandez story. Not quite that dark.
Thankfully, she lives in a land where Twitter doesn't exist. So, like, her old racist comments won't come back to haunt her. You know?
No drunken frat pictures. Oh, my God. I just totally blew Jimmy.
And what about the guys from Bear-Lon? Oh, my gosh. They're so stupid. All the Bear-Lonians.
They smell like mines.
So, do you guys not find her difficult on the TV show, or have you guys just know what's
she's
coming?
She's like a breath of fresh air compared to the books, dude.
Wow.
Pretty much. She's like so much better.
We'll see what happens. I was gonna predict where I might go with her, but just at this exact moment, episode 3, just keep her on the other side of the camp. Bring her out when we gotta fight, but no thanks.
That's funny though. That's you know what, I can see it though. We can see it. Her character is kind of abrasive.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a turd, dude. I mean, at times. She's a cool character, but she sucks at times. As much as I hate the walking simulator scenes with Perrin and Egwene, and why no channeling sickness for Egwene? Because Moraine taught her for like 30 seconds? Or
yes. Yeah. Because she never gets it, right?
No.
Yeah, because Moraine teaches her and kind of guides her.
Do you think there's any chance that they go with Perrin Egwene instead of Gawain Egwene? They have that warder kind of sister vibe in this episode a couple times, is why I asked. Do you think they could be setting that up? Especially with Aram.
I would say that, but they've cast Gawain.
I know, but maybe just they don't.
It's possible. I mean, literally, they can do anything. They have done some stuff that I never would have thought they would do. So, I would, you know, who knows? Really, who knows?
Because if you detach Gawain from Egwene, he doesn't need to have that big a part in the show.
That's absolutely correct. You don't need him at all.
Galad still has to be kind of important because...
Yeah, he absolutely has to be.
Because the White Cloaks are important, so...
Well, they've made them important. They could have made them not important, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm saying in the TV show, they seem like they're going to be important. So I figure,
yeah, absolutely,
that storyline may come to pass. So I'm just wondering what you think.
Yeah, I would be surprised. I want to know if they're going to even keep it going, you know, after this first season. Maybe they just brush past it. I don't even know, because I didn't think it was that big a deal until watching that first episode again with the subtitles on and seeing what Perrin says to his wife, saying, "You didn't even go to her ceremony. Why didn't you go to her ceremony?" And I was like, "Oh shoot. Okay, well, all right." I thought it was just like,
and Egwene was snappy with him too, or was it Nynaeve was snappy with him too, like, "Get the fuck, quit looking at she basically said, "Quit looking at Egwene and go hang out with your wife."
Well, basically, right? Yeah, that's true. I didn't even think about that. But you know what's weird though? Okay. So the scene in this episode where she's saying it's not your fault to him, it's not your fault, and then she hugs him, like he just kind of sits there like he's dead, like a dead fish.
Well, that's because he's imagining bludgeoning his wife to death at that exact moment.
And trying to hide his huge erection.
But they could have made it more obvious that he, like, well, maybe he's enjoying that, but then felt conflicted by it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, maybe he's enjoying the hug. Like, maybe he hugs her back. Instead, he's just, like, stone-faced.
He could have opened his mouth a little bit to show that he was conflicted.
I thought we were against that. Aren't we against that?
Perrin snapped his mouth shut.
When we meet him, he's going to beat you to death.
He's going to punch Justin.
God, I know. He's going to kill me.
Right in the face. We're going to get it on camera. Shit's going viral.
I do it out of love, Marcus. I love you, Marcus.
You big, sexy blacksmith.
He's just trying to capture Perrin's character, as Desmond pointed out in the clip that he sent me.
That's true. You have to tell him what happened because nobody else knows.
Oh, yeah. So I found a clip a little more than halfway through the Great Hunt. They said something about Perrin snapping his mouth shut to keep his jaw off the floor or something like that. Or Perrin notices his mouth agape and closes his mouth.
And snapped his mouth shut or something. Like, yeah.
And then Desmond recorded it and sent it to us.
Oh, God.
And I about crashed my car.
And I heard there was one or two, like, because there's so much going on at that point, and the heroes are just like, ah. They mentioned it like less than two pages later again, too. Like, Perrin snaps his mouth shut. So I think he might just be a real method actor, man. I think he's getting into it.
Perrin constantly in awe.
I'm starting to respect it.
He's good. So speaking of the wonderful Perrin, he goes into, what's the dream world called again?
Telon Riad.
Telon Riad. And
Pelin on your mom.
Pelin 425. Pelin 123. Pelum. That's what it is. Pelum 123.
The taking of Pelum 123.
God damn it.
Thank you. That's a very good movie. By the way, you should watch the old movie, not the remake.
Oh, no. I got to have me some John Travolta.
No. Oh, my gosh.
Travolta and Denzel, I think, isn't it?
Oh, I think it is. You're right.
So is this our first? I guess our first Telon Riad was when they threw up their rodents of concernible size. Was that Telon Riad?
I don't even think those exist.
And so this is our set. So they're still not really telling us what's going on. Like, later on we get, or no, that's right. Moraine said dreams are important.
She did.
Yeah. So they should know. Anyways.
But they never cover why they throw up bats. It's just kind of like, well, sometimes that happens. Bats get thrown up. It's whatever.
You act like you've never done it. Come on.
But you got to pull on it. You know, if you just threw it up, it wouldn't be so bad. It's digging back there and getting a grip on it and pulling it out. That's the nasty
part. If I just
stick
my fingers into my mouth like that, like he did, like, I would probably throw up too. Just, he's all like sticking his fingers.
Yeah, throw up fucking three more bats, dude.
Those aren't bats.
It might be a flying rodent. It might not be. I don't know. But something's coming up. It might be the inside of my stomach.
It's just a rat with a cape.
There's a lot of one-liners in this episode, too, that I love. You did try to kill me. That one was great.
It's got the best one-liner of the whole show. She thinks she's up for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You're like, whoa.
Yeah, they went there.
They did.
You know what I didn't notice in the first couple times that we watched it, when Matt and Rand are up on that mountain and he's like yelling for them, like, and I was like, well, that's so stupid. Why are they doing it? But what you didn't see, if you didn't pay attention, like I didn't, in the background, you could still see the city.
Oh,
it's there. So they're not that far away. I thought, like, well, they're on top of a mountain. How did they get to the top of the mountain? But they're actually not that far away. You can still see the city. It's just like covered in, like, it's kind of like a fog and it's in the background.
Mashadar?
No. It's just like, it's just kind of like when the sun comes up in the morning, you know, you got like right. some haze, right? It's just that.
Oh, yeah. You mean you can still see Shadar Logoth?
Yeah, you can still see, Shadar Logoth. Yeah, you can still see the city of Shadar Logoth.
Okay.
In the background. And I was like, oh, shoot. Okay. Well, they're not that far away.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I didn't notice that. Watched it 7 times.
Yeah. It's real subtle. It's real subtle. You have to really look for it. And then when Matt and Rand are like walking too, some of the best one-liners too, when he was like freezing and he's like, just think when all the people are telling you can say you, or they're saying Matt, oh shoot, I screwed it up. It's like, Matt walked, well, it's still a little chilly. And then Matt's like,
the man who walked while a little chilly.
And Matt's like, oh, you're funny now. Well, that's new.
That's a wrinkle.
Yeah, that's a new wrinkle. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what bugs me, man. Like, he is the best actor, the best character. I mean, maybe he has the best lines. So hopefully the new guy who's going to play Matt.
This was the episode where really he starts to shine as Matt. I have that in one of my notes. I'm just like, this is where he really...
I thought he was good in the first two episodes too. I still think he's the...
No, he was, but I think that he really just kind of like, you really see it. Like, he gets a few lines with the, like, you get to see the intensity on his face and he fucking looks a little crazy at one point when he's talking to Rand. It's like, he's like, why? Oh, the dragon reborn? Bleh. And he's just looking all like, you're like, oh, you know what? Maybe you do need a nap, brother.
And then when he's talking to the barmaid, he's like, I'm usually the one drinking.
She's like, yeah, well, right now you're the one serving, so get your ass out on the floor, boy. He was like, dang. I know, that's another good one-liner. You guys can make all the noise you want. No one cares.
Hey, if I wanted a man, I could find one a lot better than him.
Exactly.
It was so weird to me that of all the, I don't know if you guys watched the Previously On, but on the Previously On part, they made it a point to show when Matt's mom says, you're going to grow up just like him, a real prick.
Mm.
And it's like, why did they show that? Because I guess he was kind of a prick in this episode.
Yeah, he was.
And they wanted to give that reasoning. But I don't know. I just thought that was an interesting point to touch on. Just be like, hey, don't forget about this going into this episode. Especially because, like I said, it's not part of the book. So they're like letting everyone know, like, hey, this is kind of his motivation for being a bad dude. Which, unfortunately, I think they're going to. I think the asshole has to. I mean, even if he's a fun-loving asshole, he's got to come from a broken family to not come off as a jerk. Like, if he's Bender from Bender. The Breakfast Club, then we all feel sorry for him. But if he's Lane from Pretty in Pink, then he's just an asshole.
Yeah, it's like basically they had to give him, like, well, you know, you got to give him a chance, you know.
He loves his sisters.
His parents are shitty.
He doesn't know any better.
Did anybody else notice the size of Moraine's, or I guess Nynaeve's herb kit? She managed to hang on to her herb kit while she got drug away by that fucking Trolloc.
I did. I thought the exact same thing. I was like, where was that hiding while she was getting...
Like, none of them broke or nothing when you were just trucking down that hill?
Well, you think that she came straight from being there to going... you didn't think she stopped at her house, maybe?
No, probably not. No, she probably went home. Like I said, you have serious analysis. I'm just looking for jokes. And I don't even think she had a horse.
She shouldn't have caught up to them.
So apparently she's part Aiel and just runs like a motherfucker.
Well, they weren't, because Shadar Logoth is not in between where they're going. So I assume...
Oh, that's true.
When they had to divert to go there, it ended up meaning that they really only, as the crow flies, they didn't actually go very far. That's my guess.
She's like, I lost their trail for a minute. Oh, here it is. Cool. Let's just skip that really, you know, shitty place that's like possessed.
But Breen Spring, that's what I was trying to come up with. When they were hightailing out of Breen Spring after Tom puts that dagger in her throat, like, apparently they go back, what, a half a mile to get all of Matt and Rand's shit, because Rand doesn't have his coat on. But like, are they just gonna walk through town and no one's gonna be like, hey, why are you chasing? Where's our barmaid?
Don't go back down that alley. She's definitely not there.
Don't worry. She'll be back in a minute.
She's totally asleep. She's just really tired. She had a long day.
Let me just tell you this. She was up for it.
I think she had to be up for it. That's kind of like being a Dark One's minion. You kind of got to be up for it.
So is someone like that recruited in the last couple of weeks as things start taking off? Or has she been a dark friend from days of way back, just biding her time?
I feel like she's pretty deep into it. I don't think that's a fresh one. I think she's been probably, you know, one of those kids that starts, you know, wearing leather coats at 12 and just never grows out of it.
And so is she lying about her backstory, or has she been living in this shithole town hoping
probably been there and just like, ugh, I don't have nothing. There's no way else out of here.
She probably saw it as a way out, right? Yeah, exactly. Oh, I can do this. Maybe I'll get some, you know, power.
So she took she played the long con. It's just been, she sold her soul to the devil 20 years ago, and it finally paid off.
Yep. I mean, it might have been paying off the whole time. She just had to do something else this time.
I mean, I guess if you get to hang out in Dream World, then, you know, you get to go anywhere you want, kind of, don't you? Kind of.
Maybe.
Well, they're not really in Dream World. They just kind of like come to them in the dreams.
Yeah.
So then they get to like hang out.
You don't want to go there when the Forsaken like take you there. It's usually not good.
It's not fun.
Yeah. They're usually like, hey, I got a task for you. And if you don't do it, then I'm going to skin you alive.
Yeah. I'm going to make your blood turn into beetles and come out of your face.
We're going to go bowling and eat nachos, man.
That's not, the dark one doesn't do nachos.
He doesn't like amazing things like nachos.
It gives him indigestion.
Not even burnt nacho. They're nachos, but all the tortillas are burnt. And the salsa's hot as fuck.
He likes tachos, not nachos.
Oh my God. He is the dark one. That's a bad dude.
What are tachos?
Shut up. What are tachos? I bet you could figure it out if you think about it.
Tachos. Oh, you said tachos, and I was like,
tater tachos.
Okay.
Like talkie tachos, nachos.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking talkie
Jesus Christ,
tachos.
Neither one of you got it.
Sorry.
It is kind of a Pacific Northwest thing, probably. No, it's not. It's just a West Coast thing.
Oh, you know what I watched last night? I watched a pizza cooking competition where she had to make. They made these poor. It's they get a different group of people on every time to make pizzas, and so for the first episode, they got Nonas on there. They got like old Italian grandmas on there to do their pizzas. And the first challenge, this was so fucking cruel. They had to do some new fancy. What do they call it? Basically, a TikTok challenge of pizza making.
Oh God.
It may as well have been a TikTok challenge. So one of them had to make basically like an ice cream cone. Like it's made out of pizza dough, but it's a pizza in a cone. And one of them had to make pizza nachos. And then one of them had to make cupcake pizzas. And that lady said, I'm not doing that. She goes, I'll make you something, but I'm not doing that.
I'm not doing that. Just super gangster Italian.
Lady.
I refuse to do that. On the soul of my grandmother's father.
She's like, if I do this, I can never go home again.
Can never go back to Sicily if I do this.
She made these amazing fried dough covered in Nutellas that were delicious, but she lost the challenge.
I'm not doing that. Just totally comfortable that she's going to lose. Doesn't give a shit.
Not at all.
Well, I'm going to cook you something delicious to put in your mouth, and you're going to shut the fuck up.
And she was giving them. They kept on like having to pull back farther and farther.
Because that's the kind of grandma you want, though.
She kept giving them to the cameraman. And like the cameraman's like trying to film, and she's like shoving these fucking things in their face. Eat it.
It's delicious.
Oh my God. Italian is fuck. It was fuck your pizza cupcakes, you fucking savages.
And she flips both of them, gives them double birds on the way out.
I'm not gonna do that. Just
so back to Perrin being in Dream World. 20 minutes later.
Did you catch the fire eyes in the corner of the window?
Not the corner fire eyes.
Oh no, I totally didn't see that.
Desmond, do you even watch the show?
Is there any significance to the fire eyes like being his eyes for half a second?
That's just Balsamon.
No, there is.
Perrin's eyes?
No, not Perrin's eyes. In Balsamon's eyes, there is. It doesn't come out until way later, like way later in the book. But it's a
really? What is the significance of that?
So it's a consequence of using the true power.
Oh, rad!
Oh, right.
Because what happens is like you start to get this like you get these like black inky black spots that like start to come across your eye if you use the true power all the time, and eventually it just like burns your eyes out, and then you. They look like fire.
Yeah, fire eyes.
Fire eyes.
Yeah, I'm still confused by the wolves and Perrin and stuff. Do you think Elias is like with the wolves right now and they're just not showing him? Or
no, I'm pretty sure what they're gonna do is that they're gonna use him as the Huron character.
Yeah, sniffer or whatever.
Yeah, so he's probably just in Faldara or whatever.
That makes sense. I mean, it makes more sense. I mean, Huron's a good character, but Elias is absolutely necessary. Tom's intro is so good. The man who can't forget, though. God, it's so good.
Do you really like that song? I was not a fan.
Oh, really? Well, it's about the dragon, right?
Yeah, it is.
Isn't it about the dragon?
I don't know. It starts off probably not about the dragon, then it ends up as the dragon.
Yeah, I just love how disgusted he is when he's done singing. He's just like, I'm out. Like, just like basically mic drop. He just throws his guitar down. I'm out. I'm going to get fucking wasted.
Did you notice too when he's like walking up, when he's walking up there to play the song, it sounds like he's wearing spurs, but he's not wearing spurs.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all chink, chink, chink.
He's got gilding on his boots, man.
Yeah, later when Matt's trying to like steal the money from the dead Aielman, when he shows up, they show his boots and it's all ching, and it's like, it's this Western music starts playing too. I never noticed that before. And I was all, what are they trying to say? He's like a cowboy? I don't get it. Another thing that made me laugh was when they're asking the barmaid for help. Like they go into the kitchen and she's like, what do you need? And then she's scraping all the leftovers back into the pot. And Rand is watching after he ate the soup. He's just watching her. He's like looking sick.
Oh yeah, that's literally one of my notes. I'm like, her kitchen is not up to code. She's gonna get an unsatisfactory from the health people.
She learned that straight out of fucking the Griswold playbook.
Are you smoking again? No.
Well, I'm sleeping with your father.
Don't be so dramatic.
Oh God,
I kind of hate that Tom is a dick though.
Is he?
At first, he's kind of, like, I don't know, he kind of like, well, like the dude robs Matt and then he robs the guy who robs Matt of Matt's shit, but then doesn't give it back. I mean, he gives it back to him eventually, but like after he spends it drinking for half the night.
He doesn't get it back in this episode though, does he?
Yeah, well, Matt steals it back from him. He steals it back from him, remember?
Oh, that's right.
Because he goes, can I get my money back? And then he's like, he goes to the reach, and then Matt's got it in his hand.
That's in this episode?
Yeah, when they're standing over the Aielman.
Yeah, when they're burying the Aielman. Yeah. What does he steal? A big chunk of amethyst off of his belt or whatever? Well, then that's obviously like a stone dog.
You're like, hey, that's not worth anything.
Yeah, amethyst isn't worth shit.
Oh, I forgot my other favorite Matt line. Blunted my razor shaving your wife's back.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, yeah. Immediately, they're like, he's cool. He's cool.
Yeah.
I don't know where he found this guy. He's pretty cool, though. Suddenly, you know, also, Perrin, you know, he's a blacksmith, but then he gets licked by the wolf, and then he can track people, so.
Oh!
Desmond just had an epiphany.
Okay. I was going to ask you guys, I didn't get the line when Tom says to Matt, you denied me the opportunity. So you denied me the opportunity to give you back your money because you already stole it. And I didn't see Matt jingling. I think I was too busy staring at Tom during that scene. I was like, I think I should know what that means, but Tom still got his money.
So, Tom's eyes are so dreamy. I can't keep my eyes off of him.
God, he's so fucking hot.
Yeah, he's so fucking dreamy.
Has anyone looked up? I'm sure we have. What else he's been in?
I've told you guys a million times. The Last Kingdom.
Jeremy was sent. He's told us like four times.
He's in The Last Kingdom. Don't you dare. Gap up, up. Up, 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 up. Let me tell you something right now. The Last Kingdom is a great show.
You're just wrong about a lot of stuff, so we just ignore you sometimes.
Oh, if only.
When you say something's good, I'm like, yeah, I don't know about that.
I'm going to go watch Station 11 again.
Yeah.
And Lost. Just remember, this is the man who says Lost is good.
When do we start our Lost rewatch? That's got to be coming soon.
I would do that.
He's in the new 1899. I've been wanting to see that.
Let me know when you guys start that. I won't be there.
some TV series about the Bermuda Triangle.
Isn't that one in German, though?
It probably is. It's the same people who did Dark.
Dark is a great show, too. That's a time travel show.
Yeah. That one I got caught up trying to watch that. That's one of those shows where I watched three or four episodes, like, this is really good, and then haven't seen.
Yeah, I watched the first season, and then the second season, third season hadn't come out yet. So I just, I went to go back and watch it, and I was like, I don't remember any of this. And so I have to rewatch it. I just have to rewatch it from the very beginning. But it's good. Really good.
Another good line. She says something about a slap and tickle.
A bit of slap and tickle. But that's funny. That's a Matt line, right? Maybe she's up for a little slap and tickle. That's totally something he says in the books.
So I know I keep reading. I guess Matt's just, you know, in a way, it's just like most dreams where it just kind of throws everything you've been thinking about that day into a big pot of gumbo. Because there's Perrin, his dead wife, a wolf eating her.
And then she looks up and says, I know.
That's right. I know.
Which I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
What does she know? That he killed her? She was there, so she should know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
She knows that Perrin's not the father.
Yeah. Oh!
She would know.
Oh, snap!
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Was the wolf eating entrails or embryo?
Oh, God. Well, the thing is about wolves are kind of go to the world of dreams to wait being reborn, and they hunt there, and they hunt anything that is of the dark, so... That was my other thing, that maybe she's a dark friend, but...
Really?
But she wouldn't be there.
Why not?
She wouldn't be there.
She's dead.
If it's Perrin's imagination.
Well, it could be. But then Perrin wouldn't imagine her being Shadowspawn.
The wolves are symbolically, but the wolves are trying to tell him.
Oh, maybe. It's possible.
No, I'm a little drunk.
Is there any... Here's what happened. Here's
the
what
weed
happened.
Cookie, the weed cookie's kicking in. I'm wanting to believe.
So...
I'm leaning.
Did we see? Is there any way Padawn Fane got to Laena before she died?
No, that's very possible. That's very possible. Like, he could have come and talked to her like, okay, you need to kill him right now. Or, you know, take if you could get an opportunity to kill him or something. That's totally possible.
Yeah.
That's why she wasn't at Egwene's thing, because they were meeting up before Padawn Fane came to town. Oh, okay. First of all, last two things. Loghain, Bish, he's epic. When the entering of the Aes Sedai camp and Loghain at the end of the episode is pretty awesome.
One of my theories about Rosamund Pike doing the Irish accent for the Tinkers. Did you notice? They all have Irish accents.
Oh, do they?
They all do, yeah.
They're all have Irish accents.
Fucking Tinkers. Fuck Aram. Aram's a bitch. Perrin don't like Aram. Aram's a motherfucker.
Whoa.
Aram's going to cause problems. Aram is going to cause problems.
Oh, really?
Aram's a motherfucker.
Oh.
He's kind of he's got some serious stalker vibes for Egwene.
You know what? And he falls in love with everybody that Perrin hangs out with. All the Perrin's.
Oh,
the
that's
women,
true.
All the women that Perrin hangs out with.
Maybe that's why Perrin killed Layla, because Aram came through, did the dirty with her, and he was like, that's who the daddy is. I'm sick of this crap. No.
That's hilarious.
We see everyone use their power in the... Oh, we don't see Nynaeve.
Well, Rand channels for the first time in this.
Rand channels and Egwene.
Eggy channels. She gets the fire going. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Well, maybe. We don't know. Did you do that or did I?
Could you channel some water and some food while you're at it? It doesn't work that way, Perrin. Shut your mouth. Perrin snapped his mouth shut. I love you, Marcus. If you ever somehow hear us, I'm sure you never will. But if you just don't kill me, it's just me. The other people on this podcast are not. I'm not even doing it out of hate. I'm doing it because I think it'll be a funny story for us to talk about when we're best friends someday, Marcus.
Yes. Marcus, you can take Fatty's place anytime you want. You just let me know.
Absolutely.
No, I was saying like one, he'll like want to punch me in the face, but then we'll talk and then we'll be like, man.
No.
It was all out of love. Love was the answer. And let's go get some Starbucks.
This isn't time travel. Love and gravity doesn't solve anything.
Was this not the time pop?
I thought love was the answer all along. That's like the theme of this show.
That's what I just said. I would be like, hey, it was just a misunderstanding. Let's have coffee in a bowl and then we're going to be best friends.
I'm going to put some ice on this eye.
Together. We'll just do some Pacific Northwest stuff. We'll get coffee and we'll go get pho. And
there you go.
You know, we'll be best friends.
And
that sounds awesome.
We'll find out if she's up for it.
We'll grow out mustaches and put a little beeswax on it. A little beeswax. You ever do that?
Get some really ironic tattoos.
Yeah, totally. You mean like this one that says poor impulse control on my arm?
Yeah, that's probably it.
I love that tattoo. So I tell everybody about that tattoo. The best part about that tattoo, Jeremy, this is the tattoo is great. But the best part is the next day at work, Justin walks in and shows it to his buddy Mark. And Mark goes, I was going to get that. And Justin said, if you had poor impulse control, you'd fucking have one.
That's the truth. And also, the other best thing is that when I told my mom about it, she was like, oh, you should have had that tattooed on your forehead. And I was like, funny you should say that. The book that it's from, the guy actually has it tattooed on his forehead. So, meh.
What's it from again?
I thought I would be...
Is it from 1984?
No, it's a book called Snow Crash. And I believe it's like set in the year 1999 or something like that. And he's like fully like virtual reality. And you like America doesn't exist anymore. There's these things called burp claves. So like Tokyo owns a large chunk of America.
Oh.
And it's like Japanese law there. And each place has their own kind of prison system called burp claves. And one of them tattoos your offense on your forehead. And this giant, like the main antagonist of the book is this 7 foot like Aleutian native guy who carries glass knives around because there's metal detectors everywhere. And his crime was poor impulse control tattooed on his forehead. So he does a lot of other bad stuff too, but that's the one he got the tattoo for.
That's what leads to all the other bad stuff.
That's what leads to all the other shit.
Poor impulse control by itself, not a crime.
It could lead to criminal stuff though.
It leads to crime, yeah.
Not always.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Thank the light, everybody. Check us out on Twitter. We are Wolf Brothers at Parsta Ailman. That is Wolf Brothers at Parsta Ailman. Send any direct questions or comments at tothankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com. If you're looking for something else to listen to while you wait for the next fantastic episode of Thank the Light, we have time travel movies on Time Pop, comedy and spirituality with All the Answers, fitness and nutrition with Truth Not Trends, awesome women on Be Brave, and coming very soon, even more fitness and nutrition with the Pure Physique podcast.
How fit do you got to be?
Fitter than this. I need, the fitness is going pretty good. It's the nutrition that's really,
that's hard,
really hitting the skids right now. And it's kind of nice because it's kind of like having a coach. You know, no matter how good your coach is, after 5 years, you just don't care anymore. And so now I've got two new coaches in my ear. And I'm like, oh, like they're just saying the same shit that Jesse and Leon have told me a million times, but hearing it a little bit different. Like, oh, yeah, I should try that. And Jesse and Leon are like, yeah, that's what I've been telling you to try, asshole.
You fucking dick.
So have you guys done any... Billy Zane movies on Time Pop yet? Hashtag Billy Zane as Asmodian.
Back to the Future.
Oh, but part two.
I think
part
he's two. One and two.
Is he one and two? Oh, I think you're right.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
He's one of the kids that hangs out with Biff.
Yeah. And he might be in three. We're doing three. Three's coming up. We're going to finish the trilogy next month. So we'll find out if Billy Zane's in three. But we will get to that.
Amazing.
Until then, I'm going to leave you with this one simple question. Do you know the song?
Beautiful. Beautiful. Rate us, like us. Peace, favor your swords, and may you always find water and shade. Bye, nerds.
We're digging a way to hell.
I don't know what's happening. I do not know what's happening.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.